The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome to another edition here on the TKR app and, of course, on our Tony Curry Radio podcast network. This is a great show called Mission Minded. You know, I got to tell you something, Michael, real quick before we get started. You know, I do a lot of things with Curry and Claypo, and I certainly do a show every single morning here on TKR as well as on Facebook. And I will say that I name drop Michael Coleman's name more than any other person in my life. It's amazing. We talk about stuff every week, and I'm always like, you know, I was just talking about, and I was on Fox 6 this morning, and I was like, you know, I was talking to Michael Coleman from the Montgomery Area Food Bank about just this the other day, and it's just amazing how often your name comes up. And man, welcome in. Welcome back to Mission Minded. How you doing, brother? Everything good?
It's fantastic. I wish I could say that that was good news that you're dropping my name, but if you don't have any better sources of information, I mean, that's discouraging to me. But
well, you'd probably scare me if you told me you're dropping my name. So I'm not just sure where we're going there, but my ears have not been burning, so we've been pretty good. Hey, listen, MAFB, MontgomeryAreaFoodBank.org. Check out the site. They do wonderful work. They cover 35 counties here in the great state of Alabama, and we greatly appreciate Michael Coleman. This is an interesting show. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. When you and I started formulating the show, I guess about a year and a half ago, we were wanting to do a show about non-for-profits because there are 1.5 million non-for-profits in here. And, you know, as that tree started to branch out, we started getting all these different business ideas and these topical things that somehow are associated with business as a whole. And we certainly talk about non-for-profits because you have represented those, including the Jimmy Hill Mission, a lot of your life, but also just business decisions. We've talked about different types of businesses and toxicity in the workplace and everything else. And we'll get into some interesting classified document talk coming up in a few seconds. Two stories come to mind when we get into our topic today. First of all, the Krabby Patty. I've seen enough SpongeBob SquarePants with a 10, a 15, and 18-year-old to realize that a formula is in a bottle and it's kept safe so no one can see it. And then I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I've talked about Kentucky Fried Chicken more than I probably talked about radio on this radio station. What have they got there at KFC that they don't want anyone to know about, Michael?
I don't know.
The 11 herbs and spices. The 11 herbs and spices. So I get into Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm 15 years old, and they are like, the first thing you want to know is what's in the 11 herbs and spices. So I'm working with 11 herbs and spices every single day, and I thought, man, what if I just take a bag of this stuff home? So I did. And of course, what was I going to do with it? It wasn't like I could take it down to the University of Cincinnati and have them look through the compounds. It would have really made a damn bit of difference anyway. right. And so I held on to it for like 5 years, and my mom finally said, you know, throw this away or let me use it on something. So we think about the secrets of a particular business. And the reason I'm bringing this up, and then I'll shut up, Mike Pence, he's got classified documents. Joe Biden's got classified documents. It all started with Donald Trump and the classified documents. I don't know why it started. I don't know if they were trying to knock people off the whole presidential route or what it is. But now we're finding out that everyone's been taking stuff home, whether they know they've done it or not. Let's start right there. Percentage of Americans who know they're going to get fired or they're going to leave an office that take a little tidbit of their former business with them.
Ooh, that may be hard to give you a percentage, but I will tell you it's not uncommon, but it's usually not as quite as irresponsible as we're seeing in our government. I mean, when you get into the legalities of it, is it ethical? Is it right? But a lot of that, when you know, if you do things kind of as a general rule, if an employer feels like if you created something on employee time that you are paid for, it's the intellectual property of that organization. And so they don't want you taking those. And that's why lots of times when you leave an organization, you sign non-disclosure agreements or you non-compete clauses or things like that, where it basically keeps you from just going out on your own and taking your customer base with you.
Let me stop you right there.
Sure.
Say you have an employee who's not under contract. They're being resourced out, but they're a big part of your business. and they're bringing intellectual properties, if you will, as you say, into your business, and they're creating those things for your business, but they're being paid for. They're being paid to do that. Is it still the ownership of the business?
Ooh, you're probably going to have, that's where you get into the legalese and where you're looking at interpretation of statutes and it gets real murky real fast. And it's an area, I mean, I'm really not suited to even comment on, but I would tell you that's the exception, I think, rather than the rule.
Yeah.
I have a good friend who created, for instance, I'll give you a good example, that created addiction recovery curriculum that we were using at the Jimmy Hill Mission. Fantastic curriculum. He has written this, but when he developed this, he made it very clear from the beginning, I'm going to write a curriculum. I've been writing a curriculum, and I think it was, he's been writing it over the course of 15 years and improving it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going to allow Jimmy Hill to use that at no cost because I work here. And, you know, and so he's done that. And the recipients at Jimmy Hill, the people battling addiction had just really benefited, but it was kind of a testing ground. So it was kind of a win-win situation. He's been able to improve on it. But the bottom line is, one of the things that he was always very careful about was, hey, if I need to spend a day or two working on this curriculum, I'm going to take a vacation day. Because he says, this is my intellectual property. And even though I'm allowing it to be used here, the mission doesn't own this, nor can it take ownership of it. And so that was the, and some people might say, wow, that's extreme. But he was just very careful. He drew a line there and he said, I don't want anybody to have claim on my property. So anytime that I'm working on it in terms of editing it, not administering it to a client,
yeah,
but editing it, I'm going to do it at home on my own time. And he just made that very clear. And so if somebody wants that curriculum, and I think he wants down the road to be able to sell that and utilize that as he should. I mean, it's intellectual property that he has developed and tried and proven to be effective. And he should benefit from that. That should not be people should not be allowed to just come along and steal that and do with it what they want to. So he has the right to protect that, to copyright it, which he's done all those things. But from my experience, when I have, you know, you're going to gain knowledge as employee experience that you're going to take with you that's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would tend to take are things like not necessarily information so much as processes or charts that I would not have to recreate. So it's not that I'm taking information or populated diagrams or charts, but it was like, hey, this is a chart we use to track this. I could delete all the information out and still keep the chart, and it would benefit me as I continue to develop and go forward. And so some people might even say that is, Michael, you're wrong for that. Maybe you could make a legal argument, but ethically, how I felt about it was, if I'm not taking secret information or information that's not public and not taking that and utilizing it for my own benefit, then I felt like I wasn't violating some ethical standard, and it was okay to do. And that's just where I drew the line in my own head.
This is really interesting. Michael Coleman here joins us here for Mission Money. Keep your mind, your mission, and your mind here on TKR. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. And of course, also on any podcast platform or on all of them, the Tony Curry Radio podcast platform. I'm a small business guy, and obviously I've needed a lot of guys who are experts in their fields, and they have brought some things to my radio station that I perhaps wouldn't have thought of. And because I have outsourced a lot of my work, I've had employees that I've paid weekly, and then I've had employees I pay as I need them. And yeah, I've kind of run into that same spot where I'm the one who put up the capital. I'm the one who put up the brick and mortar. I'm the one that employed these people. Yet when they came up with ideas that I hadn't thought of that end up taking off, they want ownership of it. I even had an employee at one point tell me that he was responsible for a percentage of my success and wanted to be paid accordingly. And I said, that's not how it works. I will say this, at one point when I worked at Cumulus, I was bringing on half the revenue of the entire radio station. We were bringing in $1.5 million, and I was bringing in $750,000 of revenue. But I didn't believe I should get paid $750,000 a year. I got paid $30,000, and that's the way it was. So yeah, from business to business. And you know, it's really interesting. You talk about the intellectual properties, the ideas, because I would think now, what you and I do are pretty easy. When you're talking about Microsoft and Apple and talking about these gaming companies where one idea can turn into a multi-billion dollar idea, how do you protect those things? If you are, let's sit in an employee's cubicle right now, and you know that the business you're working for is taking one of your ideas that you got paid for to create because that was your job, and it has taken off and taken the business 3, 4, 5-fold than what it was when you got there. Is there anything you can do? I've seen toys that make America a lot on the History Channel, where a guy will have a toy company. He employs a guy, and this guy is a go-getter, and he's creating all these new toys that are just being flown off the shelves. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, without me, this place is nothing. And so he sues the company. Sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So if I'm working for a company and let's say there's going to be the creation. So look, you're going to see this way more in the tech industry, I think, right now than you are anywhere else, to where you have people writing code for you and helping develop products. So, I mean, you could think about all the engineers at Google, all the engineers at other places. And so what begins to happen is with so many of them, you know, I'm sure when they come in, they're signing documents that say, you know, all of this, everything you develop is property, intellectual and otherwise, property of Google. Now, so I think where you run into an ethical problem is, let's say, for instance, you come up with a new process that enables you to do X, and whatever, it doesn't matter what X is, but you've advanced technology significantly.
Yes.
So for you to take that technology and then go start your own company, that is theft. Because you developed that not of your own doing. You played a role, given the resources to pay, everything that was given to you, the environment, the other intellectuals in the room, the other, you know, engineers, all of that. So you were part of a team that developed something, and therefore, but you did it for the company by the resources of the company. Now, here's what I've seen. And so you take, there's been lots of people who were incredible tech guys, and that they'd say, okay, I'm going to go out and start my own company. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be tech related, but it may be an idea that popped in their mind while they were working through problems at Google. And I don't want to misquote or misstate, but I believe it was one of the people when they started coming up with all the payment gateways, like Stripe and Square and WePay. So whatever platforms you have, software platforms you have, if you're doing commerce, if you have money coming in and out, those platforms are not e-commerce sites. So you have to part. So like, for instance, we have a donor where we keep all our donor information. But that is one process. But for us to accept donations through credit cards, we actually have to have a payment gateway like a Stripe. And so So when they when so if I'm sitting there and I'm working at a company like Google, and let's say just I'm just thinking technology, you know what? This would be something pops in my head that this would be a great advancement for society, or this would be a great business, or this is just a need that society has, and you have the tech experience to actually know how to go build that and then on your own, not using Google resources. Now, you're using your advancements at Google as you've gotten smarter in programming and other, and so you'll hear people leaving a Google and going and starting a tech firm of their own or starting a some sort of technical business. I think that's okay, as long as you are not taking processes that have been created by your employer. An idea that's not been copyrighted by your employer or anything else, and you going out on your own and starting a business, and you create something from scratch based on what's a good idea or benefit. Now I think that's okay, and it all depends. Again, your employer may, like you said, to us on the outside, we see these big lawsuits, these multi-million-dollar lawsuits. Sometimes the company wins, sometimes it doesn't. And so I'm sure there's a million different variables in that to where you have to figure out, did you cross some sort of line? And every case is a little bit different. But I'm just talking about just as in general. I'll tell you this as another example. So I had a buddy of mine who was a physical therapist, and he sold out his business, and this is probably more common. Sold out his business as his physical therapy business, and he had a non-compete for 2 years. And that was in the state of Alabama. So he goes to Florida, starts his business, starts a new business in Florida for, and waits out his 2 years, builds his business, and then comes back and takes the world by storm here in Alabama, and then ultimately across the Southeast. Now, if people say, "Well, why do you have that non-compete?" Well, because if he had a bunch of customers and you're buying a business, you're buying those customers in essence. You have access to those customers because the norm is, well, it's under new ownership, but I'm going to keep going there. So, but if that person were to just go down the street and set up a shop, he's likely those customers are going to move with him, and so it really affects the deal long term. But if you go for 2 years and you're like, okay, you've got 2 years to build your own loyalty with your customers, and then he came back, and so that's exactly, so that's the, for those who may not know, that's the purpose of non-competes, and that is different than when non-disclosures and taking information, protected information from one place to the other. I mean, when you leave an organization and go either to your own business or take it to another organization, it can get, those lines can get very fuzzy. So I just, as I've said before, I've just kind of, as a general rule, said, I don't want to take information or intellectual property that was created or belongs to another organization. Now, I can't dump it out of my head if I know I can go and, but if it's just in general, just how you organize data, not the data itself, or how you process data, all those are just tools that you just grow as you age and experience and the wisdom you take with you and those kind of processes. They don't necessarily own how you organize data or how you structure data. They own the data itself. So I think that's kind of how I've tried to play it safe in my own
No, I
mind.
think that's well said. Michael Coleman joins us here on the Mission Minded. It's a great podcast. We do at least 5 days a week here on TKR. And wherever you listen to your podcast, you can listen to all of our previous episodes. I'm Tony Curry. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. To kind of go along with what you said there, we were talking about intellectual properties. I thought it was interesting. Hasbro Company, who owns Dungeons and Dragons, has just recently, they had a 900-word licensing on their games. Now it's a 9,000-word licensing on their games because so many people have taken the Dungeons and Dragons name and taken it as their own. And that's what it was created for. It was created for you to create your own fantasies. And they've created their own groups. They've created their own movies. They've created their own stills. They've created everything, their memes. And obviously Hasbro wants a piece of that. And that was kind of the neatness of the whole Dungeons and Dragons movements, is that you could make it, no two games are the same. And two different people played it differently each and every time, despite the fact it goes back to what you and I are comfortable with, and that is rolling a couple of dice and moving forward. So it's a totally different game. Let me ask you this, right off the top of the head here. What we were talking about, stealing intellectual properties and using them to further your career or maybe start your own business. I get that. What could Mike Pence, Donald Trump, or Joe Biden, or anyone else? And I have no doubt that this is going to be a rabbit hole we go down. I'm sure there's senators, congressmen. I'm sure there's people that have taken things that are on their servers that are considered classified information that they should not have in their personal being. And it's just going to get uglier and uglier. I'm sure Pelosi's next. It's going to go on and on and on. What possibly could they have as a classified document that they would need after they leave office? Or even if they're in office, why would you have to have it? I would think they would have copies of it, right? What Donald Trump's not going to go be president of another country and use the secrets of the United States in doing that. What possibly could be on those classified documents that would enact them to want to take those with them?
Well, it's funny. When I think all the way back, so I went into the military straight out of high school in 1984, and the very first duty station I went to was in Germany, and it's back when the Cold War still existed, so it was West Germany, and security was at an all-time high. You would see commercials about, hey, don't whisper about your units deploying because there's spies at restaurants, and everybody, it's all about information gathering, and if you're approached by somebody, just, it was so sensitive. Everything was so hush-hush. I mean, just even the most minute detail you just didn't talk about what you did in the army or and to give the enemy a benefit. And so when I look at how class, and I actually was where top secret documentation was kept, and that top secret documentation is really not supposed to be, it's printed, it's marked, classified. And there's really not supposed to be a bunch of copies, but at a government level, you know, maybe they, you're supposed to have control access, because there's two aspects of a security clearance. You have to have at least the level that matches. So if it's top secret, if it's marked top secret, you at least have to have top secret access. But if you have top secret access, Our top secret clearance, that does not mean you get access to everything top secret. So there's top secret, and then there's a need to know. And the only time you can look at classified information is when you have both of those. Well, you say, well, the president is going to have that. Let's say, for instance, his daily updates are probably classified documents, because he's getting reports from the CIA. He's getting reports from operations on the ground, where special forces are around the world that we don't know on a daily basis where they are. So he's getting all this data. And what happens is, what it's really showing is that all these things they emphasized to us and hammered us for all those years, when you get up at a high level, they obviously don't have the right accountability, because if a document was to leave a secured location, like if you're going to put out of a top secret location, they call it, you know, you have a skiff, and so this room is protected for top secret information. If it leaves there, it was always documented, somebody signed for it, so you could very clearly look and say, okay, here's, this information is not here, this is who signed for it for this purpose at this time, and it's still out, it hasn't been returned, so you know who contain that. And so when you ask yourself, here's all these different people with all these classified documents, so that means, are they making multiple copies? Where's the accountability? Of course, this becomes a political football that both sides are, you know, kicking back and forth. But I will tell you what I think, and this is just one man's opinion. If you look at, there's a huge market for TV spokesmen who go on to news channels, and here's a retired admiral, here's a retired this, here's the ex, you know, chairman of this. And if you'll notice back, whatever side is in trouble at the moment, they will go to the other side and get their, the past CIA director or the past FBI director. And they will be reporting, they'll say, well, I've been in talks with our folks. And so a lot of, and they reveal things not that's sensitive, but not necessarily classified. But it lets you know that they still have access to a lot of this information, because you could access to information means power, and power means money and influence. And a lot of people, when they leave public life, they want to maintain that power and that influence. They don't want to go out right off into the sunset. And it's quite the lucrative business to be able to be a pundit or somebody of influence, even if you didn't get paid for it, you know. And I, and on some level, I get it. Hey, if I was the, if I did 30 years in the CIA and I was a CIA director or the assistant CIA director or somebody significant, you know, you just don't set all that down. Yeah. And you know, at the end, you probably want to keep abreast, or they may be paying you to be a consultant. And so you may be getting these classified documents. But it is absolutely inexcusable how they've lost control of all the documents out there, especially when it's not controlled access to Mar-a-Lago. It's not controlled access always into the homes. You have a dinner party, and if these classified documents are found, if people wandering around the house and find them, I mean, that's there are people out there everywhere trying to get this information to benefit their country or benefit their own agenda. And it's just incredibly irresponsible. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat. To me, it's all the same. If you have mishandled classified information, it's just inexcusable. And I will say this. If it's this isn't something that's new, this goes back. So this isn't a new problem that came up with Trump, as it's being shown. And there's congressmen, congressmen and women who obviously are doing the same thing. And so there needs to be clear guidance as to the handling of classified information. If you get access to classified information, it has to be kept in a classified area or turned over to agents when you are done after a certain period. But there's got to be accountability. And then there has to be repercussions if you mishandle it by not accounting for it, not turning it back over, such as having your security clearance revoked or suspended.
Great, great insight, man. Great stuff, and stuff I never even knew. And just for the record, I do not have that bag of 11 herbs and spices still on my in my garage. So if someone from KFC is listening right now, KFC International National, don't come knocking on my door. You're not going to find anything in the Tony Curry Mar-a-Lago over here. Hey, Mike, great stuff, man. Great show. Super topical and really good stuff. How can people find you?
Yeah, you can go to mafb.org. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can shoot me an email. Just reach out. I'd love to have you participate in what we're doing. But if you just have any questions or anything I can help you with, always glad to help leaders be better and serve others and affect others in their world.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.